the bride got cottage and pizza yesterday at work. Do that one smile.
It's Low Standards and Pours, Sunday, December 13th, 8:16 in the evening, broadcasting just outside of Detroit City.
Detroit Rock City.
Detroit Rock City. We have our co-host, Bill El Carpe. Line, or maybe he's his host tonight, I don't know. Not sure who it is. Welcome, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right.
How's it going over there?
I'm exhausted.
Hey, Evan, nice to have you online.
Hey, nice.
Why are you exhausted? You been working a lot?
No, I just, it's off and on, and all the stress of putting stuff in the house and crazy shit happened the last couple of days, and nothing worth talking about, but just.
No, I got you.
I'm just tired.
Yeah, no, I got you. Let's have a good podcast here and see how it goes, and thanks, Evan, for being on board. Hello, Evan. Right back at you.
Right back at you, brother.
Fuck Balls is here. She's taking a leak right now.
Well, but, I heard her.
Yeah,
chimed in. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we're having a couple cocktails and smoking some tobacco and anticipating your entrance.
You do what you do because you do you. Whatever that meant.
Yeah, what's shaking, brother? Tell me. Talk to me.
We were talking about doing some. Hello, car. I'm going to be outside tonight because it's just one of those nice, crisp evenings.
It is. Me and Fuckballs were talking about that. I'm like, I think as it gets colder, Bill's struggling to get somewhere that's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what do you got? What do you got in store for us? I got my one topic that I posted on the subject, but that could be a quick topic. But what do you got?
You mentioned to me in a text something about the Purple Gang.
Yeah.
What do you know about the Purple Gang?
I don't. I didn't research it because I thought maybe you might. So maybe you might have some insight on the Purple Gang.
Well, the Purple Gang was something that was during Prohibition.
Yeah.
They were bootleggers, basically.
Yeah.
But the one fun story about the Purple Gang is – my ma's aunt.
Yeah.
So like the family I grew up with, my grandma's, maybe it might've been my grandma's aunt.
Yeah.
Or my grandma's oldest sister used to get a wagon during Prohibition and walk across Lake St. Clair to Canada to pick up booze and bring it back to the bar.
Really? As it was frozen over?
Yeah. Lake St. Clair would freeze over.
You know what, I hate to be a Wikipedia guy, but let me interrupt you really quick. I just pulled it up. There's a great spot to get cocktails in Detroit right next to what's the rib place? Slows, yeah. Slows. Right next to Slows, there's a great place to get like just the best cocktails. And it's real kind of a quiet little sleepy place. And it's called the Sugar House. And I'm reading right now, the Purple Gang, also known as the Sugar House Gang.
Right.
And that's really cool. I never knew that.
Well, and speaking of good local places, I can't remember. I don't know if this place is still open. But right next to the new hockey arena that they built.
Yeah.
A place called Harry's. Harry's is in the same block. And my buddy, he's like a cousin of one of my buddies. And so we went down to a hockey game there one time, and Harry hooked us up.
Really?
Really nice. We got to sit. Yeah, right while they were finishing up construction, we went down there one time, and you could see they had pegs for all the construction hats to go up.
Yeah.
They were doing lunches for all the construction guys. And I took the kids. And we went to a Saturday afternoon game, and it was phenomenal. We'd go and have a couple of beers
at Harry's
and then walk right over.
Yeah, Harry's a cool place. I've been there.
You could park there. Yeah, that's neat. And there's a lot of cool little places like that tucked away in little hovels in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. In Greek Town and Mexican Village, and
oh yeah.
Back in the day, we used to do a lot of what was it called? Oh God, here we go again. The place off Jeff, the area off Jefferson. God, what is it with this podcast stuff?
Well, it would help if you wrote shit down once in a while.
Yeah. Let me think of it in a second. It's an area of Detroit. They had a bunch of bars, and it was just northeast of the Renaissance Center. Woodbridge, the Woodbridge District. They had a bunch of cool old bars, and you would go down there, and we were kids. We were like in our 20s. We'd drive down there and park in these like old desolate areas, all like kind of run down. But this old bar, you know, all made out of wood, nothing fancy. And it would be like a band in there. And it was the whole Woodbridge District. And there was another bar, and I can't remember the name of it. But if anybody's listening that's from Detroit, they used to play punk music. It was all punk bands that used to play there. And I can't remember the name of it. And I'm not prepared here, but it was a cool place.
It's probably a different name by now.
Yeah. Even if it's still there, I don't know. Later. Yeah.
Yeah. 30 years later. What are you going
to
do?
So this was back like in probably like 95 to 2000 era, you know?
Right. So, 2020 still here.
Yeah, time to barely.
Time to get out the gin and make another quarantini.
Yeah. I was just talking to Fuckballs about. She's got a lot of transient people over there, but she's still doing pretty good as far as COVID stuff. They take temperatures That's and isolate good. And all that kind of stuff, which is good. But there's still a lot of right. people that you go shopping and people just refuse to wear their masks and I just don't get it, but whatever. It's kind of kind of crazy shit, you know.
So I stopped by a store today to pick up a little bit of supplies to make some dinner tonight.
Yeah,
because I made my own from scratch. I made Alfredo sauce.
Did you?
Oh, delicious!
You know what you're doing with Alfredo sauce?
Yeah. Fresh Parmesan, and I got right. a little grater. So
a little cream sauce,
Parmesan, and the heavy whipping cream and butter, and
yeah,
and a little bit of garlic, chopped up some red pepper, real fine. Little
yeah,
bit of that in there, a couple of little bit of red onion. Oh, so
sounds
delicious.
Tasty.
Oh yeah, so I've got lunch for the next couple days.
Oh, good for you. It's
600 pounds heavier by the end of the week.
Well, I've got clothes for you, so don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, it's funny as one of my favorite shows is the Food Network, and I'll sit and watch a lot of the shows on like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and stuff. But if you watch how they make food, it's you can learn a lot. You know, it's there's only so much. You know, when you take a protein or take like vegetables. You know, if you don't know anything about cooking, there's only so much you can do with it. But if you watch some of these shows, they'll tell you how to kind of mix them together and create your own whatever.
Right. And it's just knowing what goes with what.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you came over there one time, you came over to my house and we kind of did our podcast stuff and all that. You brought over some beef stroganoff. And that was that was good stuff. That was the first time I had beef stroganoff in years. Yeah, it was awfully tasty.
And that's the thing is I know I'm a good with sauces. I love to make sauces, and it's always it's got to be a little bit of runny because the next day when it's best to eat it the next day.
Yeah.
It congeals a bit, and so you got to make it a little runny so that it's perfect for the next day.
Right.
And especially if you got some noodles or some kind of starch or rice or something.
Yeah, soak it all up.
Because that soaks it all flavor. Up. It takes on the flavor, but if you don't have a little too much water in when you first make it or too much liquid in when you first make it, then it becomes like chunky.
And curdles up. Yeah.
You don't want it chunky. You just want it yummy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Yeah, you know me. I'm too cheap to buy lunch every day. So
no, hey.
I try and make, sure listen, I make a lunch.
So as a realtor, I live on the road quite a bit.
Right.
And people will laugh at me. And it's like, well, you don't. How come? Where's your paper towel? I'm like, I don't buy a paper towel. I just save the napkins. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah. If I hit like a place and I go to like my Middle Eastern places or go to wherever, my Thai places, they always give you plenty of napkins. I save those things. I never use them. If you need a napkin, go on the little cupboard. There's a whole pile of napkins. But they're everything that I collect. But
from all the different places.
It's a way to save us a couple bucks, you know.
Right.
Not cheap, but if I could take that money and put it towards car payment or insurance, you know.
Well, and if they're gonna give it to you, you might as well use it for something.
Right. Just throw it throw it back out? Yeah.
Well, like, you know, when the plumber guy came over to finish off the stuff from the
how'd your granite countertops and all that stuff go in? They all went in all right?
It finally went in fine. Everything's good. I got some patchwork to do because when they took out the old shit, the person who put it in the first time glued everything beyond belief. So there's some stuff that needs to get patched and fixed. And I expected that. It's no big deal.
Right.
It was funny because the plumber came the next day to plumb everything to make it all work. And I had bought a couple of pieces of things to cap some stuff off to prevent leaks. And, you know, I was being extra cautious.
Yeah.
And then I had taken some of the connectors that I had from the sinks before and removed them and set them aside. And I'm like, dude, if you're not going to use these for my stuff, these are like brand new. I bought them 2 years ago and I put them in.
Right.
And I'm replacing all this stuff. I mean, you know, if you can use them on somebody else's house, go ahead and take them.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's these extra pieces parts. Well, he ended up using some of it.
Right.
Because it was good that I had taken it off. But then he ended up going out with like six or seven extra parts and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, it's one of those things where I'd hate to just throw it away. And it's not going to do any good sitting in my garage because I'm not going to use it for nothing.
Well, they
take
have
it,
value,
take it with you. You're in people's houses and doing stuff, and you might need, holy crap, I need this cap for this thing, and boom.
Right.
Done. You know?
Gotcha.
But I don't know. And it's one of those things. It's just like, if you got extra, give extra. You know, take a penny, leave a penny kind of thing.
Right,
eventually,
right.
One day you're going to need a penny, and, you know, if you don't need it, leave the penny.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out and you're going to Joe's sub shop, little mom and pop shop out by you, or it's whatever, Jimmy's, whatever, Crab Shack.
Or Subway or...
Yeah, whatever. And they have a jar for tips. Do you tip?
Right.
Yeah. You tip? You do tip.
Yeah, usually.
How come?
Yeah, usually.
Why?
Well,
I never got tipped when I was working at a gas station or at a pizza place when I was a kid. Why do we tip now? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
you feel obligated to tip, Bill?
No, I don't feel obligated to. I just do because I want to.
All right.
Having worked in the in the food business. Oh, geez.
Get it all out.
Delicious.
Get it out.
Having worked in the food industry for a long time in various different places, catering places, I never expected tips. But I've been a waiter. I've been a line cook. I've been a head chef. I've been all the different things. And it's nice to be appreciated. And that's all it is. And, you know, I'm not an over-tipper.
Right.
You know, when I used to go to a restaurant before COVID, I would give 20%.
Sure.
But that's just because, you know, I appreciate good service. And if I get good service, they get 20%. If I don't get good service, I get average service, you know, 15 to 17, depending on what the
price is. Right.
And I round off or whatever.
So there's a little bit of science to it.
Yeah, a little bit. But when it comes down to these fast food joints, like a Burger King. Well, I haven't been in a Burger King or a McDonald's or a Wendy's or anything in like
good for you.
5 years.
Good for you. Either. Amen, brother. But I love you for that.
I'll go to Subway or Jimmy John's or something like around the corner. And my son works at one of the Subways nearby the house.
Yeah.
And there's a tip jar there. And I have no problem dropping, you know, whatever the change is, I'll drop it in there. You know, it doesn't, you know, the 78 cents doesn't mean much to me.
Right.
But, you know, these are young kids who are working and, you know, basically getting roughly minimum wage. And, you know, what's the big deal to me?
Right, you know? Right. I got you.
All it's going to do is occupy a dish in my car or, you know,
yeah,
sit there and do nothing in my house for a while. Give it to a kid.
Yeah, you know? I got you. Fuckball says hello and wants to know how you're doing. So
I'm good, sister.
Yeah, he's good, sister.
Good. I hope you're good.
Yeah, she's smiling and says good.
Mm-hmm.
I told her the story, so she understands.
Mm. Good.
Yeah, she says.
But no, back to the tip.
She wants to be on your zipper soon.
What the hell does that mean?
remember when we were at that one bar? And it was Hamtramck, and she was zipping your zipper up and down. Your hoodie zipper, not your pants zipper.
Right, I was going to say because I don't remember anyone zipping my zipper.
Not in the last 10, 20 years, though, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, she's just saying hello.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were being silly and goofy. That was fun.
Yeah, we were goofy and silly that day.
No, but back to the tipping thing. When I helped my buddy open up his bakery. You know, we had a tip jar out there. And it's more or less what we would end up doing with it. And, you know, on a good day, there could be, you know, 15, 20 bucks in there.
Right.
And you split it up between the people in the front who are, you know.
Yeah, on their feet all day and stuff. Yeah, humping the line there.
And, you know, sometimes you give some to the kid working the dishwasher. You know, and it's – you figure out a way to make it equitable so that everybody feels a little appreciated for doing
well, the job. I used to work at a place, Marathon Gas Station, when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And we used to – the people used to come in and do, like, you know, oil change or tire rotation or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And some of it was on cash. You know, some of it was paid in cash. And every once in a while, we would take the cash and say, okay, we're going to go buy a pizza and buy ourselves some. In other words, we're not going to report the tire rotation. Yeah. We'll just take the tire rotation, and buy a pizza, and that was our dinner for the night or whatever. But what's up, Chili Jelly? What's going on? Welcome aboard. Woo-hoo. What do you got for us? We're talking about if you are at a Subway or any kind of mom and pop shop, do you tip when you buy your food? Yeah, do you tip when there's a tip jar?
You know,
now, Bill and I are in our 50s. Do you she says, hell yes. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
How old are you, Chili Jelly? 20%. Okay. Well, she's 40. She's pretty close to our age then. Yeah. Bill and I are close to our 50s, and we never got tipped. We just made our minimum wage, whatever, blah, blah. But it's good to see people are tipping. You know, it helps out.
Well, especially now too. Everybody's hurting. So.
Yeah, everybody's feeling the squeeze. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know.
Anything new? Not to get on mortgages, but is your are you starting to see anything with foreclosures or short sales or anything?
No.
Okay.
That's going to be happening next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless there's some legislation that changes.
And yeah, to protect them.
Start getting some relief. We're going to start seeing that. It's going to be ugly.
No, I know. Hey, Chili Jelly. Yeah, we're definitely, if we go to any kind of mom and pop shop or any kind of restaurant, we're all about tipping. We're just talking about if you get carry out from like a Chinese restaurant and you walk up literally and just pay for your food and get your carry out, do you tip them? You tip them from giving your food. So you're paying 10 bucks for your Chinese dinner just to walk in and pay the front desk. Do you tip them just for getting your Chinese dinner? You know?
Well, like the pizza place, I don't necessarily tip.
Yeah, if you go to like Jet's Pizza and you order a pizza, do you tip them for ringing up your pizza and handing it over to you. I never did. I mean, I'm 50 years old and I work at pizza places. She says, yes, always tip. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's no matter what.
They have to pay taxes on everything.
That's yeah, awesome. Fuckball says she tips too.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess I'm selective. You know,
I guess I'm cheap. Maybe I'm cheap.
A lot of times with the pizza place,
yeah,
we'll pay online and I just go pick it up.
Right.
I think my wife puts a tip in online anyway.
She goes, ha, fuck balls. She likes the
– yeah.
Fuck balls is a good friend of mine that I've been friends with for a long time. She's been trying to get my pants for a long time, but I keep telling her, no, make it work. But no, we're really good friends, and who knows, maybe we might be together for the rest of our life. But yeah, she's a good friend of mine, and we met back in the day with a friend of hers, and I don't know, not too much of a interesting story, but we've stuck together, and Bill knows her really well too, and we have fun together. So we call her fuck balls. Yeah, we call her fuck balls.
Shits and giggles.
Fuck balls.
And it's a cute name, and it's
it is a cute name.
It's a name given out of love.
Yeah, it is a name given out of love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she appreciates it.
Term of endearment.
What other nickname?
Term of endearment.
Yeah. Wait, what other terms of endearment do people have? Any of y'all listening, if you want to type in and tell us what kind of – Jesus, this guy drives by every time the loud-ass fucking car.
Fuck face. That's what I tell Bill. I'd say he's a fuck face. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. No, fuck face, that's if I'm getting – if I'm – like a fuck face might go for a Karen. Like if you're out at the local Walmart and a Karen X up, I might call her a fuck face. Wrinkle tits. Yeah. Yeah. Let's stay away from wrinkled tits. We're getting old, Bill.
Yeah. Hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah. Resemble or resent?
Right. Exactly.
Anyways.
What was the other thing? I thought we had some other stuff you were going to talk about.
I've got my topic, and it's frosting my ass right now. So I'm kind of holding off talking about it because I wanted to see if we can kind of eat up the first 30 minutes between ourselves with the current events. But if you want me to get to it, we can get to it.
Well, the other current event that I was thinking about is
do you have a rain stick? What's a rain stick? She's calling you out, El Carpe.
I used to have a rain stick.
Yeah, what is that noise? What noise are you talking about?
A rain stick is
usually – I'm a guy. What the fuck is that noise? Ass hat. I've heard ass hat before.
Ass hat's a good one. But no, a real rain stick is
– what's a rain stick?
About a yard long.
Yeah.
And it's enclosed and it's got beads in it and –
beads?
You turn it upside down and the beads roll through on the inside. Yeah. It's like corkscrew inside. And the beads, it makes almost a rain sound.
Oh shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds kinda psychedelic.
It may well be. It's probably a leftover from the 60s.
Yeah,
it sounds like 60s. Why I would remember that, you know.
Maybe yeah, well, you're only a couple years older than I am, but mm-hmm. Rain stick.
Yeah, no, but I was going to go to these crazy allegations now of voter fraud that are still unfounded, and you know the weasel in chief keeps getting.
Yeah, wait, hold it, Bill. Hold that thought for 1 second. Yeah. Hey, Chili Jelly, what noise are you talking about? Is there a background noise that keeps happening? Just for clarification.
That was that big, loud car that keeps driving by.
Oh, the car that drove by?
Yeah, because I'm sitting outside.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sitting outside on the front porch, and, you know, I'm in a decent, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the chill you heard the car.
Neighborhood. But there's this one guy who keeps, you know, he must work until around now and come home, and his car is loud as shit.
Rips down the driveway, or rips down the street there.
Yeah, it was a car noise.
So, yeah, what's the talking about the fuck balls in chief or whatever? What are you talking about?
Yeah, the grifter in chief is
chief in chief.
Milk money out of people, thinking that you know people are buying into this you know, extensive fraud thing, which is unproven.
Yeah, we don't want. Let me ask you a question. It's
before
like
you
okay.
Go there, before you
all right, go
there,
go ahead. Go ahead.
What I want to say is, what he's doing is he's taking this to the public and claiming all of these things in public. But when they go into court, they've got nothing. There's no evidence. There's no proof. There's no nothing. So they just
Trump. We're talking about Trump. The big cheese in chief. Biden hasn't been inaugurated yet, so we'll get to Biden Harris pretty soon. But
yeah, I'm sure we'll have issues with them and different things. But you know, at least
so
I'm looking forward to the boring.
Bill, this is my question. This is my question to you.
Go ahead.
And this is going way off on a way out tangent, whatever. But I'm looking at like, and this is crazy thought. But if
that's new.
I know, but this is the thing, is for a guy that is a president of the United States, is that PO'd about not winning the re-election another 4 years? Is it possible? Do you think it's possible that there is something going on?
No.
Or do you honestly think that he's just that freaking crazy that nothing's going on? And part of me is saying that
he's insane.
I get that. But part of me is like, you know, is it possible he knows something that nobody else knows?
No.
You know?
It's not.
I mean,
possible.
There's like 50% of the people, almost 50% of the people voted for him, right? 47%. Mm-hmm. 40% of his percent are backing him. Because even over and beyond his crazy talk shit, but they want him in office. But my thought is like, I mean, it's 47% of the nation, and also including the president of the United States. Are they that crazy? And it makes me think. It honestly makes me think.
Here's why there's no evidence of fraud. For one, there's no evidence of fraud.
Well, in the electoral. Yeah, in the electoral elections.
Right. But two, what was he saying for the last year? It's going to be the most fraudulent election ever. And then he set up to completely disenfranchise as many people as he possibly could to eliminate the number of people voting.
I know, but
more. But, you know, he sabotaged. You know, we knew with COVID. We knew with the COVID that there was going to be a lot of mail-in votes, and there was a lot of Republican senators and Republican state legislatures that said we're gonna hold off on counting these ballots. You can't count these ballots until everything's over, and everything was over.
Yeah,
and so the people that came in to vote were primarily more for Trump. And so, yeah, it looked like there was going to be a big Trump victory, but more than half the votes hadn't been counted because so many were mailed in.
No, I get all that, but why would somebody of his, he's the president of the United States, and the guy's pissed off, right?
Well,
the guy's going
really stretching so, calling him president.
I know, but just follow me. And he's going so over and beyond to find out whether or not the election was legitimate. And there's a big part of me that says, yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy. But as the president of the United States, to pursue this, so he gets in the presidency 4 years ago.
He's a sore loser, is the
president. I get that. But I'm like, he becomes president. He starts getting rid of all the people who have been in office for a long time, and he creates his own cabinet saying, okay, I'm going to take all these new people. I'm going to create something completely new and get rid of all the old crap that's been in there, all the Democratic crap that's been there for a long time. Let's just say that. He wants to drain everybody else and get a lot of new people in there.
And but a lot of the new people he got in are also criminals as well. But
sure. A lot of them are. But I'm just like, for somebody to – thank you. For somebody to pursue Okay, in other words, if you're, how can I say it? If you're given the opportunity to prove yourself one time and you don't hit it off, that's one thing. But he is almost like adamant, saying, you know what? I know what I know, and I'm going to keep going at this until I prove that I'm right. And there's a very small part of me saying that he might be right, because I'm so sick and tired of hearing the crap.
He's a stubborn, petulant child.
I get that. He's a stubborn, petulant child
who does not understand what losing is about.
But he's also
not know how to lose.
I know, but he's also the president of the United States.
Barely.
Like, how did he get there? He got there for a reason. I'm not saying the guy's not nuts. I'm not saying the guy's not out of his mind. But I'm like,
there's no there there.
It almost leads me to believe, like, is there something that he's biting on to that we just don't understand that might come out? Like Biden, I'll tell you what, Biden's got 4 years if he makes it that long. Mm-hmm. And if not, Harris is going to take over, and we're going to deal with Harris. But
fine.
There's also people already gearing up for that. You know, Biden got us in, but Harris is going to take over.
They were
I get that.
But the point is, the process is not flawless. The process is as best as it's going to be.
Yeah.
And there's enough checks and balances to keep it right. But what they failed to do is present any evidence of voter fraud.
I know, but that's what the media reports, though. Yeah. That's what the media reports.
But if there was some, then
yeah. Do you trust the media 100%?
No.
Let me ask you that. Do you trust the media 100%? If you say yeah, you're crazy.
No, but if there was if there was evidence, they would have presented it in court, and Rudy would have brought it to court, and he hasn't brought a fucking thing.
No, I agree. It's buried so deep he can't get it out. I don't know.
What he's been bringing is hearsay and barely anything that makes any sense whatsoever.
No, I know. I agree. There's a lot of crazy insufficient stuff.
I'm just looking
for a conversation. But the subject that I had for this evening was Time Magazine can suck it. What a joke. Now, don't get me wrong. I voted for Biden Harris. I did, because I was tired of Trump. But Jesus effing Christ, how the hell do they make Person of the Year through Time Magazine? I don't read the magazine. I don't care about the magazine. But how did they make Person of the Year Biden Harris? Can you tell me that?
No, I can't. I can't.
Do you have any comment?
It's nothing personal.
Do you have any comment about that? Because Jesus Christ, if there was any two people that shouldn't be on the cover, it's those two. They haven't even been inaugurated yet. Well, there's people risking their lives every day to keep people healthy. And then all of a sudden they show up as Person of the Year for effing what? If somebody tells me because she's black and half Asian, I'm going to puke. I don't care. They don't become Person of the Year because of their ethnicity. They don't.
Right.
It's what you've done.
With it. Right, exactly. And I'm with you.
It frosts my ass.
Well,
I don't even care about the magazine. Yeah, I don't even care about the magazine. How do you become Person of the Year? Yeah, it's why couldn't they just say frontliners, nurses and doctors? They could have come up with anything.
Yeah.
And that's what they should have done. It's like at least they didn't get the Peace Prize.
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah, I really would have got sick.
Right.
It's just like, you know what?
Right.
I don't get it. It's like
they didn't do anything yet. So
yeah,
you know, yeah.
I get it. If they would have gotten office
and got voted in, and that's great.
Yeah, if they would have fixed healthcare or did something or whatever, that's great. But why did they become Person of the Year through Time? And I don't, like I said, I don't read Time Magazine. I've never subscribed to it. I had a respect for it. But for Biden and Harris and not a frontliner to become Person of the Year, frosts my ass. It frosts my ass.
Well, I'm sorry that your ass is frosted.
You should be. Yeah, you should be.
I'm terribly sorry for you. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't it means nothing to me because like
I would say, come on.
Well, Bill, I don't read the goddamn paper.
But like I know, but I'm saying is that let's say the Wall Street Journal every year had person of the year and they did Biden Harris. You'd be like, this is the Wall Street Journal. One of the most respected periodicals and whatever that's written, supposedly. Why would they have Biden Harris as person of the year? They're not even fucking inaugurated yet.
They haven't.
What about the frontliners that risk their lives every day?
Right.
You know, yeah, why wouldn't let's start with that
thing. I don't know. It's a priority thing. And I don't know where their priorities are. I don't know how they get to where they come up with that stuff. I don't know how they figure it out. It doesn't matter to me because I'm still never going to buy another Time magazine. I haven't bought one in 30 years.
You know, I think either of I, but what I'm sitting at the dentist office, so I have to read those things.
The one Time magazine I did buy was the one 2011.
What's up, Radio Parlask? You have read one.
I bought the one in 2001 after 9/11. That's it.
What happens if Rolling Stone magazine said these are the people of the year?
Still don't care.
You don't care?
None of that.
Is there a periodical that might come out and say, you know what, these guys are the people of the year? Any of it bother you?
None of them mean anything to me. I give them no credence. They might as well say the Bible is the book of the year.
All right.
It means nothing to me.
I gotcha. What would anything mean something to you?
Well, yeah. If somebody actually did something and they acknowledged
it. Trappy Joe.
You know, if
they. If any of you guys want to call in and give us your thoughts, obviously I'm more bothered by this than Bill is, but.
Yeah, I think you're giving too much credit to
Time
periodical.
But I've always respected really Time magazine.
Vaguely respected it.
Yeah, well, I know, but like, if there's a guy that goes into like Afghanistan, that's a reporter and gets shot up or something, and barely loses his life and writes a book or something, I don't know, whatever, and he might be the person of the year because the reporting that he does, fine. But Biden Harris, they're not even inaugurated yet. So why on God's earth, why would they even be nominated for person of the year?
Like, the only thing they did was participate in the elimination of tyranny.
Well, I guess. Sure.
And that's it.
Right.
But, you know, to make him person of the year, I don't know. And I always thought person of the year was one, not two of them.
Yeah, but, me too.
You know, and again,
well, I think person of the year should go along with the Nobel Peace Prize guy, you know, maybe something that is cancer related or MS related or DNA related or something, not just because they became
somebody that actually figured out something that is like huge, that makes a huge difference to so many different, you know,
give me Tesla, what's his face from Tesla?
Rockets in the world.
Yeah, even though one blew up, but give me him. Coming.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, he would have made more sense because you know he's privatizing space travel.
Yeah.
Or at least taking some of the money out of us spending it on NASA. Or whatever.
Well, you heard what the Israeli
government contract. I don't know.
You heard what the guy said from defense ministry, didn't you?
Oh yeah, because
you heard about that.
As if he actually means anything. Yeah, the one that said that we're actually living with aliens already.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. If I get abducted. You are on my list. We're going together.
Every fucking show.
I'm going to stop at the corner store before we go up in the aircraft or the spacecraft. I'm getting a bottle of scotch, and I'm going right over to your house.
That's fine.
The Israeli defense ministry that's retired said that he knows that the United States has been in direct contact with the aliens. We're coming to get you. We're coming to get you. Get you.
Fine. Whatever. One guy. Yeah. Where's the evidence?
I know. We don't need evidence yet. We don't need evidence yet. That's our evidence.
That's the problem with the Trump presidency, is it's foisted this whole idea on us that you don't need to really prove anything. You can just say it happened, and then supposedly it happened. If there's anybody who's throwing out fake news, it's the grifter in chief. He's the one who's making shit up.
And
the sad thing is enough people have heard him say this enough times that now we're expanding it into other things, where all you have to do is be, you know, somebody who almost had a title as the Israeli space guy for a couple of years or however long.
Yeah, but he's 89 years old. He's like borderline deaf. He's coming out and saying, you know what? These fucking people know. The Canadian Parliament says
the
same thing.
Where's the evidence?
The Canadian Parliament said the same thing. They are in session saying, we know that the United States is in direct contact with aliens. We know that. It's time to deal with it. I'm telling you. So I'm going to wave my alien flag outside of my deck. And if I get abducted, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to get you. So be prepared. Put a bottle of scotch and a couple of glasses next year, whatever. And when I land that plane, that UFO next to you guys, I'm gonna come get you. Mr. Ritchie, what's going on?
Do you understand the question? You understand the question I'm asking you, though.
What question was that?
Where's the evidence? Give me a blood sample.
Trust me. You'll have evidence. Because I'm gonna be sitting co-pilot when
Trump,
I come pick you up.
I trust you. Fine, whatever. That's not evidence.
I'm gonna come get you, Bill. If I get abducted, I'm coming to get you. So we're going on a ride.
So I have to believe you now, because if this happens, then this happens.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a pretty big goddamn if.
It is. No, it is. You understand
the reason I use the term if come.
Yeah.
And I will tell you exactly why, so that everyone else can understand too.
You proved me I'm wrong. You go ahead.
As an underwriter for mortgages,
yeah,
I look at pay stubs and W-2s and tax returns, and I determine what the actual income is. And if I get a letter in the file that says, "Oh well, I'm gonna be getting a raise next month.
I'm gonna make more money.
I'm gonna get a raise next month, and that'll help me qualify." Yeah. Well, that's if come, because if I get a raise, then I'll have that income. Well, I can't underwrite anything. I can't qualify you on if come. I can only qualify you on what I know actually happens.
But this Earth is like a billion years old.
Yes,
this Earth is a billion years old.
4.6 billion years old. But what you're telling me. What you're telling me is, if they come, we'll come get you.
Yeah, I'm going to come get you. We're going for a ride. That's all I'm saying. It's like if I went to the Chrysler dealership and bought a new like Hellcat, I'm going to come get you and we're going to go for a ride. It's the same thing I'm telling you. You are on my list. You are on my list.
Are you going to buy one of these Hellcats?
No, absolutely not.
That's not even my
Honda. My Honda is fast enough.
That's a horrible analogy, then.
No, but okay. I could go get a Hellcat and go pick you up and have a lot of fun. I'm just saying, if the mothership ends up landing in my condo complex, I'm gonna get on board.
I'm gonna type in
these coordinates. We're going to go pick up my buddy Bill.
Jesus Christ!
And hopefully he's got a bottle of scotch.
So we know that the Hellcat exists.
Yes.
If you bought one, you would come get me.
Yes.
And I understand.
Yep.
But we don't know that these other things exist, because we don't.
No, we do. We do.
We don't. No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
There's no evidence. There's no evidence whatsoever. No. Give me some. Give me some actual physical evidence.
No, you haven't written on a UFO.
I'm looking for a blood sample.
You haven't touched UFO, but it's coming. We'll put it aside. It's conversation for another time. We'll put it aside. I'm just saying, if I get abducted, you're the first one on my list. I've got your address plugged into my Waze navigation. So,
and I told you about it a couple times. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Come get me.
All right. Yeah. You're cutting out. What the fuck's going on? Bill. Did the aliens come get you?
Christ. And then we're off to the next topic.
Trappy Joe, Mr. Richie, Radio Parlask, how you guys doing? Dial in if you want to.
Thanks for an argument.
Yeah, if you got, you know, if you want to prove yourself. Any new news with Hamtramck Music Festival? Are we still anticipating that to be in the spring?
It's not happening in the spring.
Nope, no, not at all. Mm-mm. So it may not happen at all this year.
If it does, it'll be June or July.
Okay, so Bill and I every year, and Bill has donated his time more than I have, but we donate our time to the Hamtramck Music Festival, which happens in a suburb of Detroit every year in the around the time of March, 1st of March. And we work the wristbands and make sure everybody gets kind of for and make sure that they can get into the shows.
And what it does is it raises money. It's 150 bands on three nights in every venue in this small little town. And all the venues are these tiny little bars where you can basically smell the lead singer singing. You can smell their breath.
It's awesome. Exactly. Yeah. If they had Thai food, you can smell it.
Good rock and roll. Good all sorts of different stuff. All sorts of different.
It's a good mom and pop way of seeing all a bunch Detroit of great bands.
And what it does is it raises money for Hamtramck system to encourage musicians in the Hamtramck school system.
Yes.
That's a school system that's been suffering for money for years.
Yep, it promotes the arts.
So it's really, it's a big ass charity. It's a big charity fun weekend. And
we do this every year, or Bill does this every year. It's all donated time.
The one with JP, and he's one of the organizers of the show. We interviewed him last year before the event. And you know, as the time gets closer, maybe around January or February, once he figures out what is actually going to happen, we'll do a publicity thing and we'll talk about it again. We'll do a
whole show. And hopefully some of these listeners from the Detroit area that we have will participate in the Hamtramck Music Festival.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, and my cousin who passed away this past year, early
actually. God rest his soul.
Yeah, she passed away, I think, in June or July. After spending, you know, her time, because she would come help. This is the cousin who's the closest to me in age.
Yeah.
She would come, and we would just have a ball. We just had a lot of fun. And, you know, there's just so many good things that happen with this. So many good memories to make. And it really, it's a good benefit. Because you never know who's going to be the next Detroit rock and roll star.
And
it could be anybody.
The next Kid Rock, the next Eminem.
Yeah, and, you know.
Have you heard anything from Hand Grenades? Are they performing anywhere?
I've been out of touch for a while. This whole COVID thing is throwing me through a loop. I've not been in touch with really anybody, and you know me, I've been working like crazy.
Yeah,
I barely have had enough time for myself. You know, the most time I have for myself is this stupid show that we do.
Don't say stupid. This is entertaining and informational.
This
I made up that word.
Little fast and loose with informational, but this fun ass goofy show that we do.
And, yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out how to pronounce COVID. Oh my God. I can't pronounce it. Hold on a second. COVID. I can't pronounce it. I'm not that educated. Has entered the room. Go ahead and say it. There you go.
Yeah.
That's close.
Yeah.
Frosty 20. We love Frosty 20.
Hey, we actually have people today.
What, yeah.
Are we doing something special?
I don't know. He must sound interesting. I think it was the Time magazine can suck it. What a joke. I think that was the title that everybody brought everybody. And they can. They can fucking suck it because, you know what? If they really wanted to make an example of who they are, they would have said, you know what? It's all they did put is frontliners.
Right.
Frontliners. Frosty, our original topic was Time magazine said Biden and Harris were persons of the year. I'm just PO'd because I have a lot of friends that have had COVID that have been in the hospital. I've sent hot dogs and Coney dogs and stuff to their floors from them.
To help them out.
Yeah, to help out. I think that Time magazine is nuts, crazy nuts for saying that Biden and Harris is the persons of the year. They haven't even been inaugurated yet. So
my daughter's is a frontliner. So, you know,
yeah, my vote goes for
friends who are frontliners who deal with this shit every day. And it's just,
so do I.
They're getting overlooked again. And, you know, here's these people who, thankfully they got elected, but they haven't done anything yet.
It's not a political rant. It's just like, you know, these guys, these frontliners are risking their lives. Why would they? I mean, Time magazine would have been a hero if they would have said frontliners. That's it. Frontliners. They would have been a hero. But Biden Harris, really? What a joke.
They might as well have said Trump's a person of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, fuck balls. Now we're talking about concerts and stuff. And we were talking about I bought two tickets to the Foo Fighters, which I love. Wow. I love David Grohl. And I wanted to go see them, and it cost me almost $150 a ticket. I can't remember how much I paid. $150, $160 bucks a ticket to go see Foo Fighters main floor. So it cost me over $300 some bucks, $320 bucks, whatever. Plus you got to pay for parking, which is like $50. Plus you got to go in and spend $10 a drink or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But my point is I lost my point here. So, God, I lost my point.
You didn't get to go.
No, we went. Oh. But my point was I was trying to get at that Kid Rock sells out every time. He's a Detroit native, and his ticket prices are $20.
Yeah.
$20. You go see a whole show. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Kid Rock. I love Foo Fighters more than I do Kid Rock, but he sells out. He sells out shows for $20. That's like, it's the best thing in the world. He's telling the Detroit people, like, come see me. I'm not going to press you for money. $20. Just show up. Have a good time.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's how it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, come enjoy the show. You know, I'm sure he gets a portion of the take for the booze.
Yeah, he's got $10. $10 times, like, he does like five shows. He sells out every time. Every show's probably 50,000 people. Here we go. I paid $800 for a New York Giants game, two tickets for my divorce party. Frosty, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
It's an event. It's fun, and it's worth going and having the good time with. And I'm sure they probably spoiled you for $800. I'm guessing you probably got either really good seats or a box or something.
Hopefully, hopefully you're right up in there.
You know, not nosebleed for $800.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great event. You know, and sometimes it's worth just doing that for yourself. You got to spoil yourself.
Well, sometimes you got to splurge. Do something. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I used to go to the DSO around Christmas time every year with this before I got married. But a girlfriend of mine and I, we used to go to the Nutcracker every year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was not cheap.
No.
But it was, you know, you get a chance to dress up and you go have dinner and you make an event out of it and it becomes memorable.
Right.
And, you know, if you're spending that kind of money, make it memorable. Do something special for yourself once in a while.
Yeah.
Make it worthwhile. But, you know,
we don't, I looked into
see a guy sing shouldn't be, you know, $150 a ticket.
No, you know,
how much did we spend for tickets to go see Echo and the Bunnymen? What is it, like $50?
Oh, minimal. Yeah, minimal. $50 maybe. Yeah, $50 maybe.
Yeah. And you got to see Violent Femmes and Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah.
And it was
We sat on a hillside for 2-3 hours and listened to some great music.
Yeah.
For sure. And it was a good time.
And we made an event out of that, and it was, you know, $18 a beer, but you know, the beer
was
in North Carolina.
Right.
And, you know, you stumble around for a little while. And I honestly think I probably listened to like 3 songs. The rest of the time, we were just shooting the shit talk.
Yeah.
It was an event. It was exactly the event that I needed at the time. It was.
Yeah.
Because my buddy Christos went and we met you guys up there. My brother was there in a different part of the lawn seats. But it was just walking around, having fun and talking to people. And just there was this great music in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was.
And
it was
Evan like, says Echo the Bunnymen are amazing. They are. They rock. They put on a good show.
I've seen them a number of times. In fact, I'll tell you, Evan, I saw them in 1988 on the tour with the album with the guys standing in front of each other with their arms sticking out.
The year I graduated.
I saw them that year for that tour, and I have a T-shirt from that, which I wore last year or the year before we went?
Yeah, does it still fit?
Well, I bought an extra large back then.
Oh, okay.
It was a sleep shirt, and you know I grew into it, of course, because I got fat. But
right, you're not that fat.
But I wore it to this other concert just a couple years ago, and everybody's like, "Dude, where'd you get that T-shirt?"
Yeah,
because it says "Echo and the Bunnymen, 1988," and it's got the really cool album cover art on it, and it's like,
right.
And everybody's like, "Wow, that's a great T-shirt." I got so many comments on that; it was hilarious. Yeah, it was cool, Evan. Thanks, man. But
yeah, you are. You hold on to that stuff. I don't.
Yeah.
I had some Pixie stuff that I bought, but it's funny. Once you wear some of those concert T-shirts, I saw that I still have it, but I bought the Pixies concert T-shirt that they had when they first came back from being like non-existent for like 15 years. And I had to wear that around like, oh, my God, you like the Pixies? I'm like, yeah, I went and saw them. I'm like, I've seen the Pixies like, I don't even know, 4 or 5 times now. But the Pixies rock. I love the Pixies.
Yeah, I like them too. I saw INXS open up for the Go-Go's in 1983. And I bought an INXS swing
tour. I was 13 years old. So you were like 15 years old.
Yeah, it's 15 or 16, yeah.
Yeah.
But I bought an INXS swing tour sleeveless white T-shirt. And I tried
to – You still have it?
Yeah. I got a box of old concert T-shirts, The Clash, Romantics,
right.
You know, all the good stuff. And I tried to put on this swing tour T-shirt, and it was like I bought it. As a 15-year-old skinny 150-pound kid,
right,
and now I'm
much
bigger than that. Yeah, it wasn't even painted on. I couldn't even get it over my head. I couldn't squeeze it around my belly, but it Damn was just Scott. Funny.
Did I lose you? Where'd you go? Oh, Bill.
From that swing album. And
there you are.
On the side of it, we got to see the Go-Go's too. You know, they had the
Go-Go's are headlining?
Yeah. The Go-Go's were headlining, and INXS was a much better show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But it was just a great time. We were on the lawn and having fun. And it was Pine Knob when it used to be Pine Knob. I don't know what it's called now. DTE something or nothing.
Yeah, freaking DTE. That's a show. That's another show we're gonna have. It pisses me off. DTE, Comerica Park, all that shit. You know,
corporate names for all these places.
Yeah, forget about it. Forget yeah, about it.
You know, somebody's got, you got to make some money doing something. If you get
forget it, you know what? The Little Caesars doesn't need it. Little Caesars doesn't need any more money, right. Based on their freaking name of their venue. Kind of pisses me off.
The guy who owns Little Caesars is also the guy who owns the Red Wings. So why can't he name it after his other business too?
If you want to hit a home run, name it after like it was called the Red Barn, like Red. Or no, yeah. It was the Red Barn.
Call it Hockey Town Arena.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Name it anything but Little Caesars Arena. You know?
Joseph H.K. Lewis.
Yeah, exactly.
Call it something
special. Frostburn, yes. Well, it's like, you know, why do you want to, like when I lived in Maryland, I was like, I'm going to M&D. What was it? M&D? So wait, hold on a second. They're I gotta figure it out. I can't remember. I don't remember. M&D Bank was where the Baltimore Ravens played, and then the Cardinals played at, I can't remember the name of the stadium, but it wasn't Cardinal Stadium. It was something else. But it was all corporate.
Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, it was all corporate. Yeah, it's like, whatever. You know what? If you want people to go, if you want people to remember, if you want people to keep going and make a name for it, just name it Tucker Stadium. Name it Lions Stadium. I mean, you know, quit making it so corporate, you know?
Well, you know.
Comerica Park? What does Comerica Park mean to you?
What the monkeys are going to dance for us either way, no matter what it's called. It doesn't matter what the place is called. The monkeys are still going to dance for us.
Does Comerica Park mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you?
It means a bank owns the place where the Tigers lose.
Exactly. 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 Or a pizza joint. I mean, like, who cares?
Yeah. Whatever. Ford Field. Yeah, that's the place where the Lions lose.
Let's not talk about that.
Right.
All
right.
It's been an hour. Hour and 2 minutes, exactly. Bill?
No, let's keep it short. Keep it special. That's been Eric.
Yeah, talk about it. We're signing off.
It's one of my favorite songs, by the way.
We'll let it go for a little while.
Girl, if you want to. Yeah. Girl, if you want to, we could go all night. If you like the Jams, you look up Six and the Sevens, Detroit Music, and YouTube, and you can find the Six and the Sevens playing stuff live.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a good example of what happens at the Hamtramck Music Festival. There's a lot of good
Mandy,
stuff that happens there.
We're getting ready to wrap it up.
Unless, of course, she calls in. Then we'll have to talk longer.
Hey, Mandy. How are you doing? We're just getting ready to wrap it up.
Oh, I thought she called in. I'm looking at her like, nope. You're talking to her like she's actually called in. Aw. Yeah, Mandy, you missed all the fun stuff. But you can listen to us later. Feel free to download us. We've hit over 1,000 downloads. We're like super.
That's not bad for a couple guys that are, you know, whatever.
Old and stupid.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Barely understanding what we're doing here on this Podbean thing.
Yeah, so, do we know what we're doing?
Yeah, we have no idea. But no, seriously, if you want to get a good example of what good, solid rock and roll Detroit is, you listen to Six and the Sevens. You can find them. Go to YouTube, Six and the Sevens, Detroit Music. Let it go to At Least Girl if you want to. And where it kicks. This is.
I'll let it rip. I'll let it rip.
Yeah, this is my jam. You can play the whole damn thing. Great piano, great guitar.
Yeah, Bill's probably was part of this.
I got to be so fortunate as to be in the back.
Five Live. What's Five Live?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm kind of warm and fuzzy and kind of. Oh boy, why are you ending your show? We keep going.
Give us something, Mandy.
Talk to us, Mandy. Call in.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you. I gotta go drink in Maine, though.
So, whatever. If Mandy calls in, then you're allowed to go.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're gonna have to hold it.
I know. I might blow a valve here.
That'll be all right. That'll be funny. Blow a valve on live radio or whatever the hell this is. Live podcast. Blow a valve.
That's right. I have fuck balls right in front of me.
Yeah, she'll get a kick out of that. No, so what else can I tell you? This is one of the other things I was going to bring up.
Yeah, go ahead.
So part of the reason I've been so tired and exhausted is obviously Ma passed away last week, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
I did nothing the entire weekend. It was the weirdest time ever having a Saturday where I'm not going to visit Ma. And I basically laid in bed and didn't do anything. What I was getting at is because Ma donated her body to science.
Hobo chilling.
Hobo's here, yay.
Fuck balls.
Because Ma donated her body to science, there was no funeral, there was no viewing, there was no nothing. There was no official goodbye.
Right, right.
I got to see her Wednesday night and essentially told her goodbye at that point. I had a conversation with her that, you know, I could only see her respond with her eyeballs because she was not very, very responsive. But I found myself today just, you know, I'm watching the news and I'm watching all these trucks pull out of Pfizer or whatever with the COVID vaccine. You know, they were showing the report where the vaccine's it's shipping now. And I'm looking at that and I almost came to tears. And I'm like, there's that asshole again driving by. So I almost came to tears just watching this. And I realized that it's not because I'm excited that it's there and that it's happening. What it is I haven't fully grieved yet. I haven't finished grieving, and I'm just curious. Yeah, Mandy says my mom was found dead, and they didn't do an autopsy for some stupid unknown reason. Well, Mandy, there was no we knew mom was dying for a long time, and she was in hospice, and I went and I said goodbye, and the next morning she left us, but she donated her body to science, and so there was no. There was no funeral. We haven't had anything. And having grown up in a society and in our family and our culture where there was always a funeral, I haven't figured out how to say goodbye. I haven't closed that door yet, and I don't know how to close that door. And I'm just curious if there's anyone else out there who has been through that type of situation and how did you get through it? Because at any given moment, I'm like 4 seconds away from just breaking down crying, but I don't know why. And I think it's because I haven't been able to have that moment at the funeral home to just break down and cry. You know what I mean? It's like it's still in me and it hasn't come out yet. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you crying? Are you all right, Eric? Oh, he went to take a leak. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at. I don't know. I guess that's kind of what. Well, thanks, Mandy. I appreciate that. Mandy says, damn it, y'all. So sorry. And yeah, it is a beautiful tribute to be raised, and I see that you were raised the same way. You just do that. You say goodbye, and you have this event where you get to do that. And because mom donated herself to science, you know, she was done with her body. She's like, let somebody else learn. And I love that idea. I think that's great. But I think for those of us who are still living, there's a certain amount of we have to say goodbye that's just missing. Eric, Mandy's calling in.
Okay.
I'm guessing Mandy's got some insight maybe to help me out, and that would be greatly appreciated. Hang on, Mandy. Eric's not right at the computer thing to let you in. I would, but I don't know how to. Eric, go sit down and let Mandy in. Crazy ass. Why don't you hang up, Mandy, and try it again here in a minute? Because, you know, Eric's, of course, making another drink. Because why wouldn't you? But, yeah, I don't know how the saying goodbye thing happens. Eric, Mandy's going to call in, so.
All right, let her rip. Come on, Mandy.
All right.
Hey, Mandy. I am so sorry about your loss.
Where are you calling from?
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Texas. Oh, East Texas.
Right. Yeah, we get a lot of people from Texas. That's awesome. So, Bill, you tell your story.
So I'm just going to tell you this real quick, Mandy. My ma.
Don't let Bill get too long-winded.
Yeah, I'm going to make it quick. But no, ma was.
Go ahead.
She was very supportive of my oldest daughter, who was big into music. And so she paid for flute lessons for my daughter for a number of years. And now my daughter is graduating with a master's degree in flute performance because of
how
because
beautiful.
Of, it is beautiful.
And because is of your mom. And exactly. That's awesome. I'm so happy to hear that. I love to hear that. That helps. I mean, man, that helps me. I mean, just to hear, I know you just lost your mom, but like,
it is.
I mean, I lost my mom in April, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
Right.
And right. I still feel like, you know, she's just somewhere else. Not like it's that she's not here because she's somewhere else. I don't feel.
You know, she's next to you all the time.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is that, like, whenever she's, like, for Thanksgiving, you know, in her absence, I just felt like, mom's somewhere else. Mom's doing, you know, she's somewhere else. I'm a grown woman. I have my own family. I have my own life. So, of course, mom is somewhere else, you know, and that's just kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not part of the moment because she's somewhere else. So it really hasn't set in. It hasn't hit me that she's not, like, I know she's gone, but it hasn't hit me that she's not here because she's forever gone. You know, it's like I can say the words, but it hasn't hit me inside, you know.
And I'm with you there. Now, did you guys have a funeral?
Yes, and I'm sorry you didn't have that. I'm so sorry. Well, I was raised like you. Yes, we were able to say goodbye like that. But your mom, my gosh, what a beautiful tribute. That's amazing. And I mean, I'm sorry you didn't get to say goodbye because of that, but damn, that's beautiful.
I did a little bit. Now, here's the thing. She had Alzheimer's, so she was pretty much gone for the last year anyway. But I would go and see her every Saturday, and I'd take her, get her hair done, and we would do stuff together on Saturday all day. Right? I'd take her to lunch, and we'd do stuff. But when I went over Wednesday night, because my brother's like, she's getting close. You know, we had the hospice and everything at the house for a couple of days. And he's like, she's getting close. You got to come see her. And so I went over Wednesday after work, and I sat with her for a good 3-4 hours and just told her story. She was not responsive very much. But then I'm like, you know, hey, Ma, I ran out of stuff to say. But you know what? I got some of the video of the girls of my daughter playing her flute music for various performances that she's done. I've got them on my phone. I'll just play these for you for a little bit. And so I found some of those, and I played them for her. I could see her really trying to watch. You know, her eyes lit up, and she was really trying to pay attention. And then when I left, I set up the CD player and found one of her CDs of, you know, famous flute music, because that's, she loved it. And so I played that CD for her while she fell asleep that night. And it was just like, hey, man, I got to go over and I'm going to leave you with this. Have something nice to fall asleep to. And it was just, you know, it was one of those, exactly, it was an awe moment. And I was glad to do that. But the closure part is missing.
Yeah.
You know, have the closure part with your mother, which is good. And I think that's part of why we do funerals, is to be able to say goodbye officially.
I agree.
Yeah.
Did y'all do a memorial?
The exact same thing. Well, we're going to do that come after COVID. Summertime, we're going to get together as a family, and we're going to plan it ahead of time. So I got cousins all over the country that are going to come. We all need to
learn how to celebrate death. You know, I think that's what it comes down to. Have to realize your mom's here for a reason, or was here for a reason. And all the good that she's done has to be celebrated. Not mourned, but celebrated.
Right.
That's our biggest thing, you know?
So now I'm
beautiful tribute. Yes.
Yeah.
Now I'm down to like two moms left.
Two moms?
Yeah, I feel you.
She's down to one mom.
I have a couple. Yeah, I feel you.
I got the one mom who's like my best friend's mom.
I have a stepmom.
Yeah, Bill's got some great stories.
She's amazing. My stepmom is amazing, but I mean, she's not my mom, you know? I mean, but she's amazing. I'm very close to her, and I love her dearly, but she's not my mom, you know?
Right.
And she's been a mom to me because I met her when I was in second grade, and she's been fabulous. She has done me so good. Like my parents, I was fortunate enough to have four parents that got along for my behalf, and because they wanted the best for me, they all agreed on that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was just fortunate to have another mom in my raising, but. Again, it's not my mom, you know? There's one mom, and she understands that. She knows.
Right. But
you know what I mean.
Your relationship with her is different than the relationship you had with your mom.
Of course.
And she gets that. And as long as that's beautiful, you know? And I'm having the same issues with my birth mother, who I just met last year.
Uh-huh.
And that's a whole different story. But here now I have this birth mom who's only like 17 years older than me. I'm already a full-grown 52-year-old guy with my own life and everything. And here's just this, holy crap, this is the woman that gave me life. And now how
that's
do I deal with
that? Big issue. Damn, so you're dealing with that on top of losing your mom. Damn.
Well, I wouldn't say dealing with it. I mean, because birth mom is great. She's wonderful.
Well, I mean, but you just met her, and so you're having to deal with all that acceptance into your life, like dealing with all those issues. Like, that's a lot, man.
I'll tell you, Mandy, I knew that I was adopted when I was 9 years old. I had built up this dream about meeting my birth mother, and it pretty much came true.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, it worked out
good
really
for
well.
You. I'm happy to hear that. That's awesome.
As my mother told me,
and
all as I was growing up, she said, "Well, you've lived a charmed life, and she's exactly correct.
Yeah, I did too.
Very fortunate.
Me too. Very fortunate. Very blessed.
Well, there you have it. Mandy, you're awesome. Thanks for calling.
So are you. Oh, thank you for letting me. I mean, I like to talk about this stuff. Like, I don't like to talk about it, like, with people that are, you know, randomly just, I mean, you know, when people bring it up, I like to talk about it. Yes.
We have a shared
experience. I like to talk about it. But I don't like to bring it up. Like, I'm not trying to bring people down. I just like to talk about it.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, and, you know, here's the thing is it's gonna take a while. And really, I was just kind of asking the question of there's this huge difference between having a funeral to say goodbye and not having a funeral to say goodbye. You know,
yes.
When my dad passed away, he did the same thing, donated his body to science, which was great. But again, we didn't have a ceremony until like 3 weeks later. And it
how
was
did
beautiful. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, it was a wonderful ceremony and it was great. And I had the opportunity then to break down and let it out, you know, and I think there's something cathartic or that something that solves whatever goes on in your head if you have the ability to just let it out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so far, I haven't had that chance yet with my mom. And I'm just wondering if there's something wrong with me because I haven't done that yet. Or is it normal and it's just because of the situation that
it's definitely normal because in the situation there's nothing wrong with you, nothing.
Well, let's not get crazy. There's definitely something wrong with me, but in this particular
there's
instance,
something wrong with all of us.
Right, but in this particular instance with my mother, there's nothing wrong with me. I get it
100%. Yes.
All the other stuff though completely messed up.
Yeah. I feel you.
Oh, man. Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Well, I appreciate you calling me.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it as well.
I really
enjoyed it. It's nice to be able to talk about it.
The term I'm thinking of is you've added a little bit of solace to my evening, and I appreciate that.
Oh, well, right back at you. It was nice to chat about it.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny. We'll be back on Sunday. Give us a listen on Sunday.
Feel free to go back into any of our old shows. And
Most
of the stuff that he says are topics in our old shows is not even accurate.
Hey, we'll do.
Two guys rambling.
Hey, Mandy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I do.
Maybe not. You're not convinced yet.
I mean, I think I do.
Okay, just checking.
Why?
No, why? I think I've seen them, and Bill is a skeptic, and I think that with what's going on, I think we'll in our lifetime, Bill and I being in our 50-year-old range, we'll probably see them sooner or later. But we're just trying to take like a little, you know.
Okay, do you believe in them?
I believe in them.
Are you making fun of me?
No, I believe in them. I don't think Bill does. I believe in them. I don't think Bill does.
Yeah,
Bill needs
Bill
to be. Bill has to be put this way. Grays. Yeah, the little grays have to show up at his front door for Bill to believe in them. Whereas I'm a little bit more open-minded, I believe.
And even if
that
the little grays showed up, if the little grays showed up at my front door, I'm still going to.
I think there's too many sightings over too many years, and too many. I think there's something there.
There's something out
there. But again, I've studied anthropology, and I understand how humans think. And I understand how we've evolved, and hopefully find that our brains can fill in things and make stuff up. So, I just need more evidence. So, actually, I need some evidence. There isn't any evidence. So we'll figure it out.
And
every time Eric says he believes in aliens, I just think, all right, well, so what? The world's flat, too?
Well, hey, I'm going to go put my kid to bed.
You do your thing, man. Thank you so much for calling. That's the closing music.
I'm going to go.
That's our closing music.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Rock on, sister. Thanks for calling in.
Have a good night. Thank you. Bye.
That's been Eric. always walk away.